It's time to talk Cleveland Browns football with our Scott Petrak. But here's a little Johnny Manziel over the weekend. Wait a minute, where am I getting? I got too much going on. Johnny,
what
I can't
is
hear
going
you.
On?
I can't hear you, Johnny. Hold on. Stop the band. Stop it. Oh, geez. Those guys never know when to stop.
It's a fine line, and you just play naturally and take the play as it happens on the field. And for me, there's times on third down where you have to try to extend it a little bit while still being smart and go out and make a play. If it's fourth down like we had the other night, you got to get the first down. I mean, I think I could have made it a little easier on myself, but at the same time, I'm learning from that, and we're moving forward and make sure it doesn't happen again.
A little bit of Johnny Manziel talking about, I guess, being a quarterback. Know when to run them, know when to throw them, is to paraphrase Kenny Rogers, I guess, a little bit. Scott, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
All right. Scott Petrak of the Chronicle-Telegram joining us this morning to talk about the Browns. All right. Prime time exhibition football. That's kind of an oxymoron in my opinion, but talk about what's to be expected tonight in Washington.
Well, you know, it's a pretty big game for the preseason. We should have a quarterback decision tomorrow or Wednesday. At least that's what Coach Mike Pettine wants. He's sick of all the questions about the quarterbacks. He wants to name a starter so he can move forward with that guy, try to build some chemistry with that first unit. And I think the decision's going to come down to how tonight goes. If Brian Hoyer plays well, I think it's his job. But if Johnny Manziel outplays Brian Hoyer by a good amount, then I think we could see Johnny Manziel week one in Pittsburgh.
Scott, any idea how much these guys will actually play in games 3 and 4?
Yeah, well, game 3 they're going to play a lot, whoever the starter is. The starters on both sides of the ball will play into the second half on Saturday with the Rams come to First Energy Stadium. Week 4, it's interesting. Mike Pettine, even before camp, said he didn't want to play his starters week 4. That's his background. You know, you don't want to get guys hurt. But I think he thinks that these guys need to work, because on Saturday he said that he hasn't made a 100% decision, but he's leaning toward playing the starters at least a little bit in that fourth preseason game. So I don't know if that would be 2 series, a quarter. So I think if you're going to one of those last 2 games at the stadium, you're going to get to see the starters a bunch in week 3 and a little bit in week 4.
It's kind of a unique situation for us. I mean, they give you 4 preseason games, and that fourth one always seems to be kind of just, let's get to the regular season. But in our case, because they have to pick a quarterback for the next game, that person needs to at least get the experience for those games. Let's talk a little bit about injuries. I guess I'm looking at your Twitter. There's all these people that are not showing up at Washington. Is this to be a concern? I mean,
here's how the preseason works. You can't, if a guy's got an injury, you don't play him through it because you're trying to get him to week one healthy. Buster Screen, they're optimistic that he'll be ready to go week one. I don't know if that means he'll have to wear a cast on that thumb. Surgery was a possibility the last time we talked to Pettine. And that's a significant injury. Buster was trying to hold off first-round pick Justin Gilbert for that starting spot opposite Joe Hayden. And now Gilbert's going to get the start tonight. He'll get the start in week 3 of the preseason. And if he plays well, it means Buster will probably be moved inside of that nickelback position, which is more natural for him. But Buster was doing his best to open the year as a starter. He was really having a good camp. It's a little unfortunate of an injury, but the Browns are hoping and they need him to be ready week 1, and they think that's a realistic goal. Desmond Bryant's an interesting case. The defensive end, he missed the last 10 games, I think, last year with a heart thing. He had a irregular heartbeat, and then he had the cardiac abrasion, which supposedly fixed it, and that seems to be okay, but he's had a wrist bothering him for a while. He's trying to get a second opinion to decide if he needs surgery, and I assume that they would cast that up and he would try to play through it. But the closer you get to the regular season, which is only less than 3 weeks away now, you wonder if he'll be able to go week 1. He's a key part. You know, they paid him a bunch of money in free agency last year. Then the other big name on there, I don't know if it's a big name, but it's an important name, is receiver Nate Burleson. He traveled, so he hasn't been ruled out, but he hasn't practiced in a week. He won't play tonight. He's got a nagging hamstring injury. The Browns are counting on him, but he's 32, going to be 33, and if he doesn't play much in the preseason. He didn't play against Detroit. He hasn't practiced in a while. You got to wonder, do you save a roster spot for a guy that you assume will be okay and be a benefit, but if he hasn't played and you're worried about the hamstring, do you give that spot to a younger guy? My guess is he still keeps his spot because there's so many questions at receiver and seems like the weakest group on the team, but it's worth keeping an eye on what happens to Nate Burleson.
Do you think we'll get a resolution to the Josh Gordon case anytime soon? You'd like that, but...
Well, I mean, frankly, I thought we'd have one before training camp, and then when the appeal hearing was August 1st, I thought you'd have one the week after. I would expect it to come by Friday. The league usually kind of puts out that news, the suspension news, on Friday afternoon, kind of dump it into the news cycle. So I would expect at the latest it to come down by Friday. It could come down earlier in the week. And they could still reach a settlement somewhere between the zero games and the indefinite suspension, which would be at least a year. If I had to bet, I'd say 8 games, but I would not be shocked if it wound up being the indefinite suspension. He loses the appeal, and he cannot apply for reinstatement for a whole year.
Do you think there are any other factors at play here regarding how long this has dragged out and what he's accused of versus the collective bargaining agreement and the Players Association? And
That's a good question. I think the biggest factor is probably the specifics of his case. Does he have a legitimate case? Are they, the guy who heard the, Roger Goodell did not hear the appeal, the judge who heard the appeal, how much is he taking into consideration the fact that it looks like the two samples varied and they weren't the same? I think there's some science involved. Can it really be secondhand smoke? Can you have that much THC in your system if it's secondhand smoke? And I do think there's a political background, the fact that, Ray Rice just only got the 2 games for the domestic violence, even though those are separate in the collective bargaining agreement. And it's spelled out for drug suspension, and it's not for domestic violence, at least yet. They will probably change that. I think there's a political background that Roger Goodell has to weigh, and that factors into if there's a settlement reached. But if Josh Gordon or his representatives say, we're not going to settle, or the league says we're not going to settle, it comes down to making a decision on, is it no suspension or an indefinite suspension, which he qualifies for because he failed X number of tests, then I think it's more of a black and white decision.
The Browns brought in Rex Grossman. Tyler Thigpen is gone. What do you think was really behind them bringing in Rex?
Well, the real surprise is that it took this long for Rex Grossman to get here. Ever since Kyle Shanahan was hired in early February, it just seemed unnatural. Rex Grossman has been in his offense for 5 years. He's become a veteran mentor. He knows the system as well as anybody else. It just seemed natural. I think Rex wanted to try to go somewhere where he had a chance to play, maybe even a chance to win that backup job, where here the best he can really hope for is to be the third quarterback when the team might not even keep a third quarterback. So I think Rex was trying to keep his options open. He had a workout in Miami. The job went to Brady Quinn, and Rex said, okay, I'm going to come here. And I think another factor was general manager Ray Farmer knew Tyler Thigpen from their days together in Kansas City, liked his athleticism, wanted to give him a shot, thought that would be the better third quarterback option. And when Tyler Thigpen had an awful preseason game, he's had a bad camp, they finally said, okay, we're done with Tyler Thigpen experiment. Let's bring in Rex and let him get into that room and help teach Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel a little bit about Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram joining us this morning. The Browns are in Washington for a preseason game tonight. It's Monday night football on ESPN. Are you going to be glad when this hype is sort of over? I mean, are we actually going to have a resolution in the next 24 hours, or how do you think this is all going to play out in the near future?
Yeah, what I wrote about it today, I expect it to be resolved after tonight, which means Mike Tett makes a decision Tuesday and announces it Tuesday night or Wednesday. I think the only way there's not resolution is if both quarterbacks play poorly tonight. because then I think it'd be hard for Mike Pettine to say, okay, we're going to trust Brian Hoyer going into week one, coming off a inconsistent camp, a average preseason opener, and then a clunker tonight. I don't know how you hand Brian Hoyer the job, especially with as many Johnny Manziel fans as there are. On the other hand, you can't, if Johnny plays poorly tonight, you can't say, okay, this is a rookie who just said he's not ready for week one, who just played poorly against Washington's number one defense. I can't hand him the job. Why would I think he's going to win us a game in Pittsburgh? So I think if both play poorly, then the decision gets bumped to after game three of the preseason. But if one of them plays well, I think Pettine makes his decision and moves on, which will be good because not only is a resolution for Pettine, the quarterbacks, the team. You know, I'm kind of sick of writing about the quarterbacks, and that's the biggest story, so you feel like you have to write about it and talk about it all the time. But there are other storylines on this team, and if that kind of, if the quarterback situation quiets down, then you can focus on other parts of the team.
Yeah, we know the names of two players on this team for sure because we keep hearing them all the time. And I don't know when the last time the national media ever cared about who the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns was.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a huge story for us. I mean, it seems like we're dealing with a quarterback battle every camp. But the attention that the Browns are getting nationally is really almost unprecedented.
Yeah, and for a preseason game, these two guys, obviously, today, they're kind of focused. They got to get it done. And it's not just them. I mean, they have their teammates to rely on them. So, in a sense, their whole team is kind of going to determine a little bit of who becomes the starting quarterback. So.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, at the end, you got to – and I think people don't pay close enough attention to this. They're always like, oh, yeah, he led this touchdown drive, and he was 7-for-11. Well, you do have to weigh in. If a guy drops a ball, the coaches are aware of that. They watch the film and they say, okay, he made the right read, went to the right place with the ball, and made a good throw. After that, it's out of the quarterback's hands. You know, I think we get caught up in the result when if you're the coach, you can look at it and say, okay, he did the right thing, he made a good throw, and that's what the coaches are looking at. And I know it matters if you get in the end zone, but last week Brian Hoyer threw a good pass. Josh Gordon probably should have caught it, and he would have had a touchdown. It might have been called back by a penalty, but at least he would have made that touchdown throw. And I think in some coaches' minds, in Kyle Shanahan's mind, that probably counts as Brian Hoyer threw a touchdown pass.
Right. Well, you write in in yesterday's paper, you have the statement you said about Pettine. You said he's seen an entire offseason of practice, 3 weeks of training camp, a preseason opener in Detroit. Hasn't picked the starter. Obviously, after tonight, he'll put it all together. And we're all hoping that at least we have somebody on the chart listed 1-2, and we can move on to other stories because it's always interesting to see who kind of makes it out of camp that nobody was expecting, and we'll find out as the weeks wear on. Scott, we'll talk with you again next Monday, which again will be after, I guess, two games.
Two games to talk about.
That's right, because they play tonight and then they play on the 23rd against the Rams. Scott Patrick of the Chronicle-Telegram, thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate your time
today. Guys.